Should have handed them out at the doors. You can thank my mom. She's on the front row for this, because even at 44 years of age, she still tells me my wardrobe is bland. Too much gray, too much black. So this is for you. And as soon as I walked out this morning, and she's like, "Ooh, you have a bright color on." She totally has said that a million times because she thinks I wear too many dark colors. But I'm glad my mom's here, but it actually makes me a little more nervous, even though she's my biggest support of love and unconditional support. And I've shared a little bit about my mom before, but she had me at a young age, and she was given options to help and to have an abortion. She was offered to have me adopted, but she chose to do it on her own. And when I was little, I didn't quite understand what that meant. I just knew my mom loved me, no doubt. And as I've gotten older, I've realized the sacrifices she made for me to do it on her own. So I love you, Mom, and I'm very grateful, because now I get to be a mom. And she modeled that for me. She only had to do it to one, but she was a good model. So anyway, I love her. I've shared before in the last couple times I've spoken how I love my baby dolls. I took them everywhere with me. I changed their clothes more than I probably changed my own. My mom says I changed my clothes all the time. But my baby dolls went with me. They went shopping with me. I fed them. I rocked them. I sang to them. I took them out in the yard. We lived out in the country, and I'd have a big old tea party with them and all my stuffed animals. I was mom of the year in their eyes. I was more than enough to those baby dolls. And then the real ones came. And the baby dolls didn't invade my body. They did not change my body forever. I will never forget, we were getting ready to go swimming one time, and I had a bathing suit on, thinking, I can do this. And I'll never forget, Lily came up and she poked me. She's like, "What's that?" I'm like, "That's you and you and you." And they refer to this as their home. So thank you. Baby dolls didn't do that to me. Baby dolls didn't poop up their back, clear to their neck. I had a baby alive doll, and I fed her, and she would poop it. Everything that came out of her was clear, not my kids. My baby dolls did not projectile vomit across the room. That was Grace's specialty. My baby dolls did not blow snot bubbles and then pop them with their tongues. And my baby dolls did not test my patience. They didn't say a word. They didn't cry. They went to sleep like that. And I did not have to give birth to the baby dolls. I will never forget going into labor and delivery with Grace, and the nurse was telling me I was earning my Mother's Day. I thought, okay, whatever. And I remember in the moments thinking, I can't do this. I am not enough for this. There were many moments that I felt that way as a mom, that I was not enough. When Grace was about 4 weeks old, now we know she had colic, but she cried nonstop, and I could never comfort her. And I remember sitting on our blue and white striped couch in California, and she was crying so hard, and I laid her next to me on the couch, and I started sobbing. And I remember pleading to God, like, "Help me. I cannot do this. I am not enough for this baby. I can't satisfy her. I can't make her stop crying. I don't know what's wrong with her." I remember zipping her skin up in the sleepers. Has anybody else done that? Please tell me you have. I'm surprised you don't have a scar, like, right about here. Overfeeding her, thus the projectile vomiting. That was my fault. One time, where were we going, Dennis? California or Colorado? In the airport, trying to warm up her bottle. And I went and got some hot water from the coffee shop and set the bottle in there, thinking I'm real smart, first-time mom. I went to feed her. I swear I tested it on my, I must not have. And she started screaming when I put it in her mouth. And then I tested it again and realized it was hot. It was boiling. I felt so horrible for her. I did a lot of those things, hitting her head, putting her in the car seat, in the car. Dennis did most that. He did that mostly, but I did it a little bit. But again, it just you do these things, and you're like, gosh, am I good enough to be a mom? And then another one came, and he was so easy, but at the same time, I'm like, I got another one to feed. And he always wanted to eat, and then Grace would say, "I'm hungry," or Grace would always need something, because she was 18 months when he was born. I had another kid to keep alive. I had another kid to love, and it was like I loved them both, but it was a different kind of love, and he was a cuddler, and she was not, and it was just like, can I do this? And then he started biting. He bit Grace constantly. I think it was his only way of communicating his frustration. Sometimes I would hold him, and he'd bite me, and I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't do anything to you. Then there was just double the toys. And I looked up, I was looking up the word enough, but then I would put in that's enough, because how many times do we say that as moms? That's enough biting your sister. That's enough toys out on the floor. He had an obsession with dinosaurs. You go in his room and there were dinosaurs everywhere. That's enough sneaking out of your room when it's bedtime, Grace. That's enough of reading that same book over and over again. I didn't have enough sleep. I didn't have enough patience. I didn't have family around because we were in Minnesota then. My mom came one time and she pulled me aside. This sounds terrible for me and you kind of, but it was good that she did this. She's like, I wish I had a video of you talking to your kids. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm a good mom, aren't I? She's like, no. She watched my patience. I mean, you don't realize it when you're in the heat of the moment and your kids are driving you crazy and you just kind of lose it. And she said, I wish you could see. And it hit me hard. And I realized that I was getting angry a lot. I was frustrated a lot. And Grace and Theo were sensing that. And one of them acts that way sometimes more than the other. But I didn't have enough time to get the laundry done, still don't, and make 4-course meals. But my kids, they didn't care. I mean, they weren't saying to me, you know, Mom, you're not enough. Mom, I want steak and creme brulee tonight. Why didn't you make that? Or why isn't my pink dress ready for my play date? You know, all these things that we say to ourselves, but they might have thought them, but they didn't say it. I said it to myself. But what they did say was, Mom, will you hold me? Mom, will you play with me? Mom, will you sing to me? Mom, will you read this book to me? And it was awesome, but there was times I made excuses. Like, no, I got to do this. I got to clean this. I got to do that. I didn't do that a lot, but I do regret saying that, you know, someone told me 20 years from now they're not going to care how clean your house is, but they're going to care and say, Mom did this with me, Mom did that with me. It took me a while to get that. And then a third one came. And Lily was, not that I didn't pray for my other kids, but we lost 3 before her, and she was, someone was missing. I didn't have enough to take care of, I guess, but she came along, and now I had 3 to keep alive. I lost her in Target. This is my first child to tell me no. This is my first child to write on the wall. She drew mushrooms on the wall. I don't know what that was. But there were 3, and it was crazy at times, 5 and under. Theo and Grace were 18 months apart, and then Lily was about 3 years later. And I remember one day they were like, Mom, 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 and it was just constant. And I stopped and said really loud, stop calling me Mom. My name is Nicole. And they all just stopped and looked at me like, you have a name? And I remember thinking I needed to say that, but I have those words. I wish I could take them back because I am Mom. And there's nothing I wanted more in this life than to be a mom. And it just was really wrong of me to say that, but they didn't even know I had a name. I wanted to take those words back. I have a lot of things I wish I could take back. And then the teen years came, and you talk about feeling like not enough. I have had probably 2 or 3 years of questioning big time why God chose me to be a mom of teens. I mean, I know they have to grow up, and they get there. It's just, and they are good kids, and most of it is myself, but it's like, who are these people? They once were small enough to fit inside of me. There's no way, especially Theo, could ever fit back in there again. Why are they thinking for themselves? Why are they talking back to me? Why are they wanting to drive? Why are they having friends over on the weekends? And literally, when I go down to the basement after these boys have come over, it's like harvesting a whole dishwasher load of cups and plates. It's crazy, and it stinks down there, too. Why are they 1 second pretty happy, and the next second, like, they're going to kill me? We used to tease, I think I say this every year, like, which Grace is coming out of her bedroom tomorrow? The happy Grace or the angry Grace? But not anymore. It's not as bad. She's leaving me soon, so I have to be nice to her. Recently, I sent them a text because in my struggle of feeling like not enough for this teen years, I keep telling people, I miss 5 and under. I miss 5 and under. I wish they were little again. And I started to realize what that probably sounds like to them is, I don't like you right now. I don't like this stage. And it really hit me about 2 weeks ago when I sent them a text just apologizing because It's not that I don't like, I love them. it's just, it's different. It's like momming these teenagers, it's a different kind of, like it used to be we could say, hey, let's go to McDonald's, and yay, let's go to McDonald's. Let's go to the park and have a picnic, yay. Now it's, let's go to Culver's. I don't like Culver's. I want to go to Red Robin. I don't like, you know, or go. Let's go to a movie. Well, I don't like that movie, and everybody has their opinion, and it's harder to make them happy, and I think I felt as a mom, that was my job, to make them happy. When I get a text that, you know, I could really use a drink, or hey, I forgot my shoes, or, you know, I'm doing it ready because I want to make them happy. But happy teenagers, it's an oxymoron. It's not going to happen. There is no power on this earth that will make a mom able to make a teenager happy 24/7. So I had to apologize to them. And, of course, they were sweet. Oh, I didn't think that. But I know they probably did because I said it a lot. And in feeling that way constantly, I probably wasn't being the best mom I could be because I constantly was beating myself up for feeling that I wasn't enough. The fact is, God thought I was enough for them, not for Debbie's kids, Kristen's kids, Sherry's kids, Annie's kids. They did not give, he did not give them to me or me to them. He gave me to them and them to me. And it is an honor to be their mother, even as teenagers. But it's easy to look at other moms and think they're rocking this. It's their kids are easy. But I guarantee you, that mom that looks like she's rocking it is probably have her moments where she's in the closet, stuffing chocolate, rocking herself in the corner, thinking I'm going crazy. I mean, we put our best stuff out there, but I guarantee you other moms are struggling too. And we see moms who we think maybe they're not doing so well. They're struggling. You judge, and it's easy to judge. But I was at Aldi's the other day, and this poor mom, she was checking out. She'd already checked out, and she was bagging up this tons of groceries, and she had two little ones. And the little girl said, Mom, I got a potty. And, of course, the mom said, oh, not right now. Can't you stand busy? I remember when my mom used to do that. I'd go somewhere, we'd go somewhere and say, I've got to go to the bathroom. Why didn't you go at home? I didn't have to go then. So I totally had a flashback to that. And so the mom is just struggling, and I checked out and went over, and I said, do you want me to stay with your groceries, and you can take them to the bathroom? And she starts crying. And I'm like, no, it's okay. Just go. So she went and came back, and she's still crying. And I just could tell she was overwhelmed. And I just talked to her for a minute, and I said, just relax. Enjoy them. I said, my little girl's leaving me in a few months for college, and I'd give anything for her to be in that grocery cart telling me she's got a potty. And she just hugged me, and she cried, and I got in my car and cried, and I text Grace. I said, I just cried for 20 minutes in Aldi's because you're leaving me. And I realized, you know, I just told her to celebrate and enjoy every moment because she's doing a good job. So when you see someone struggling, let that mom know she's okay. Let her know she's enough because I think we beat ourselves up big time. I had a moment like that. Again, it was behind closed doors, but I'm going to tell you. Grace was in the bathtub. I don't know what the child did to deserve, don't turn me in, a spanking, but back in the day when you did that, I don't know what she did. My mom said maybe she splashed water on me, which I wouldn't have got mad for that, but she did something, and I spanked her, and this is what she said. That didn't hurt. So what does that make a mom? No, I'm going to make it hurt. But the worst thing is I was talking to her about this last night, and she was giggling. Because the child started going back and forth in the tub, in the water, splashing, just laughing and smiling like, ha, 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 you can't get me. And it took me a minute to think, I'm going to take the water out of here. So I drained the tub, and she's all slippery. She's still sliding around, but it's getting less and less as the water goes down. And I grabbed her, and I spanked her so hard. I could hear it, you know, and she said, still didn't hurt. And I'm like, oh, it's time for me to walk away. And I walked away. I want to take this in a little different direction because I'm going to kind of go back to the comparison thing. It's easy to compare. I'm so grateful there wasn't Facebook and Instagram and all of that when my kids were really little. It's hard enough now with them being teens. But there's a quote by Lisa Prevere that says, why feast on the crumbs of comparison when God invites you to sit at the table? And I thought about that for a minute. I'm like, sit at the table, crumbs of comparison. I get the crumbs of comparison because I'm eating them constantly. But I thought about eating at the table, at his table, and I thought about the fruit of the Spirit. And what does a mom need more than love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I needed self-control in so many moments. When we are beating ourselves up for these feelings of comparison and like we're not good enough, I want you to realize that He is enough. And I think as moms, you may be a grandma, an aunt, or some kind of mother role in someone's life. I think if we can grasp the fact that He is enough, there's no question about whether He is enough. It's really we have to come to terms and actually let Him be enough in our lives, as moms especially, because when we do, He picks up all the loose ends. I know there are so many times where, you know, I messed up. I go to bed at night feeling awful for how many times I got on to Grace or got on to Theo or Lily, and it would just make me feel horrible. But I really had to trust the fact that they knew I loved them. I think that song, that reckless love that we have for our kids, and I had to even more so know that He loves them. And when we are pointing them to Him so that they can in turn learn that He is enough in their lives, then we've done more than enough. I was thinking also about the word, you know, enough being sufficient. And, you know, there are things that we think I can't get enough of, like chocolate and sprinkles. And my mom has given me a hard time for how much coffee or how much creamer and sugar I put in my coffee this morning. It never ends. She's always on me for something. Not enough ice cream, not enough hot fudge, but His grace is sufficient. Another word for enough is sufficient. And I am so glad that His grace is enough, but as moms, we need it from our kids too. Like when we make the wrong mac and cheese or we trigger our hormonal teenagers, make a fool of ourselves in front of their friends. And I know I'm going to need lots of grace as a mother-in-law when I say too much or when I give my grandkids too much junk food. But the best thing is God's grace is enough. So when we mess up, I also encourage you, just another side note, I've told my kids I'm sorry so many times, including that text. But even when they were little and I'd messed up during the day, I would always tell them, you know, I'm sorry. And we have to model that for them because they need to know it's okay to mess up, say you're sorry, and then get on the right path. And even not just with parents and friends, but with God and their relationship. Another thing that I thought a lot about is His mercy. In Lamentations, it says, great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Think about as moms, how many times we've had, you know, said, oh, I don't have anything nice to wear or new to wear, or my furniture is old and covered in puke stains or blood and all this stuff that kids do, and we can't have anything new because you're just going to ruin it. Well, the awesome thing is God's mercy is new every day. There's no blood or spit or stain on it. It is just new every day, and Lord knows we need new mercy every day. I can't catch vomit without puking. I've never learned a French braid. Every time Theo got a bloody nose, I pretty much was on the floor. I gagged every time those little snot bubbles came out. And I totally stink at keeping up with the laundry, especially now. And I always burn my cookies. But I rocked at singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow to Lily 20 times a night. I held my own in Nerf gun battles. I had pretty decent blanket forts. They had this little trike, and they loved it when I would get on it, and I'd fly down the driveway across the cul-de-sac up into the neighbor. It hurt, but they laughed. The things you do. I've hugged lots of broken hearts and dried tears and kissed little owies, and I have loved them and will love them fiercely. And I have one leaving me that I will continue to love, but more importantly, I've prayed for them. Daily, sometimes hourly, I've prayed till I've cried for them. And I pray that if I do nothing else enough, is that I point them to God and that they know that He is enough. And if I did that, if you do that, you are more than enough of a mom, grandma, aunt, whatever it is, whatever role you're playing in someone's life. But I really encourage you to stop eating the crumbs of comparison, because they really do make you sick. But just sit at His table and feed on His truth and the fact that He gave you specifically to those children, and those children specifically to you. I want to pray real quick. God, I thank You for the moms in here, the grandmas, the aunts, the bonus moms, the foster moms. I pray that the women in here that play that role in someone's life, I pray that they would stop comparing themselves, that they would not doubt their worth and that they are enough. God, I pray that most importantly, they realize that it's not about them. It's really about you and that you are enough. And because you are enough, it makes us enough. And I pray that you would help us to continuously point our children in your direction so that they also can live a life knowing that you are enough. God, I pray for the women and the men and anyone in here that might, this day's hard. I pray for them if they've had a loss of a mom recently, or they maybe just didn't have the best mom and they don't have those memories, or they're just missing their mom right now. God, I pray that we would give them comfort, and I pray that for those of them that there's good memories, I pray that that's what comes to the surface today as they just go about the day. And I just pray that you would bless all the ladies in here and just be with them and continue to encourage them and just assure them that they are enough. In Jesus' name, amen.